بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل عبادة أمتي قراءة القرآن، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable علماء الكرام، Elders and brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مولانا یونس صاحب دامت برکاتہم ریکویسٹڈ می ٹو اسپیک سم تھنگ ریگارڈنگ دا قرآن کریم، اینڈ دیئر فور آئی اسٹینڈ بفور یو ان کیرینگ آؤٹ ہز آرڈر. آئی ول اسپیک ٹو یو ریگارڈنگ دا کلام اللہ اینڈ دا ورڈ آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ویری بریفلی. With reference to a book that I am currently reading, and I mention this for the benefit of those ulama who are present, and of course those who may be able to read the Arabic language. The name of the book is Tilawatul Quran al-Majid Fada'iluha wa Adabuha وخصائصها. This book was authored by a great muhaddith of our times whose name is Abdullah Sirajuddin, who hails, and he has passed on rahimahullah, hails from Syria. He's a great scholar of our time, unknown to many. Those who are acquainted with Sheikh Awwama, his student, Sheikh Awwama says regarding Sheikh Sirajuddin that huwa waliyu ni'mati, he is the guardian of the ni'mah, of this blessing that Allah has given me in the form of knowledge that you see with me. He, Abdullah Sirajuddin, is the guardian of that. This were the great people of our time. When they spoke of their seniors, when they spoke of the asatida, they spoke of them in the most highest of terms. We cannot even imagine this sentence, what it says, وَلِيُّ نِعْمَتِي, that he is the guardian of my blessing. The blessing that Allah has granted me in the form of knowledge. And Sheikh Awwama today is one of amongst the senior ulama of the Muslim world. So Sheikh Sirajuddin, in his book, he speaks about the Quran Kareem throughout the book, but there's one section there where he speaks about the Quran Kareem being one of the most superior forms of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, that the Quran Kareem is one of the means of gaining the proximity, one of the most superior means of gaining proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that the Quran Kareem is from amongst one of the most comprehensive of ibadat. Now when we make claims like this, it is an usul, a principle of the Sharia, that for any action to be classified an ibadah, for any action to be classified as a means for gaining the proximity and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for any action to be called from amongst min a'zamil qurubat, from amongst the greatest forms of that which brings one close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things have to be proven from Sharia. We cannot make claims without proving it. And if there is no proof to back it, it will be rejected in the Sharia. Then he goes on to give us the proofs of this, that this is one of the most superior forms of ibadah. And it is a form of ibadah in itself, just the mere recitation of the Quran, either with understanding it, or even without understanding it. Not that that is the best form of ibadah. If you recite the Quran without understanding it, go on doing that for the rest of our lives. This is not the ultimate. This is not the most desirable of situations. But at the same time, it is not without its benefit. This cannot be negated, as some would like us to believe, that merely reciting the Quran without understanding a single word of it has no benefit. So he goes to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tilawatul Quran al-Kareem in the context of ibadat. Allah says in the Quran, utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqimis salah. That recite from what we have revealed unto you of the kitab, of the Quran. Recite from the Quran. And thereafter Allah says, immediately and establish salah. That it has been paired with the greatest form of ibadah, and that is salah. In the same way, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. That those, when Allah speaks about His abideen, His worshippers, the good one amongst the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mukhlisin, when Allah speaks about them, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. They are those who recite, make tilawat of the kitabullah, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish salah. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, and they spend from that which we have given them. So, salah and zakah. Again, in the context, in the same context, Allah mentions يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. They recite the Quran. So recitation of Quran has been likened to all of these ibadah in the fact that Allah has mentioned them in one context. So, it is proven from this that the recitation of the Quran is a great act of worship. It is an ibadah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about it being a means of gaining the proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith in fact says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِمِثْلِ مَا خَرَجَ مِنْ. In a lengthy hadith, a portion of which I am just relating because of the shortage of time, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that a man will attain proximity to Allah, will not attain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything more superior than that which has proceeded from him. With that which has proceeded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the Quran. It has proceeded from the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is his kalamun nafsi. It is his personal kalam. It has proceeded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by means of that one can achieve the greatest proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is from amongst those ibadah that will bring the greatest amount of reward. And it is most comprehensive form of an ibadah. This also is proven from a hadith. I'm giving you the proofs for these claims that were made. And that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِّنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةً وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. The one who recites even one letter, we're not speaking of words. Words are made up of numerous letters. The one who recites just one letter of the Kitabullah, فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةً, for him is one good deed. And in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا, Each action in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equivalent to tenfold. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborates further that I do not say that alif lam meem harf, walakin alif harf, wa lam harf, wa meem harf. I do not say that alif lam meem together is one letter, but rather alif is a letter, lam is another letter, and meem is another letter. For the recitation of just these three letters, alif lam meem, you will get 30 rewards. An absolute minimum of 30 rewards. The bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restrictive. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. The Quran says that Allah will increase for whomsoever He wishes as much as He wishes. This is the absolute minimum in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mere recitation of the Quran in itself holds such great bounty. Now, when this is such a great form of ibadah, it is the most, one of the most superior means of gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of gaining the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naturally, there are some etiquette. There are some etiquette that will govern it being classified an ibadah, being accepted as a form of ibadah, and bringing the reward that has been promised. And from amongst these things, Sheikh Sirajuddin mentions a number of things. The time does not permit. This is a lesson on its own. It is a whole, probably a series of lectures if we have to cover every aspect that has been mentioned there. But I will mention just one or two, and I will mention the final one that he mentions, and that one of the most important ones which we generally have tended to neglect. From amongst the things that he mentions, firstly is that ikhlas. When reciting the Quran, in every action of our deen is dependent on ikhlas. And we know the very well-known hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that verily actions are judged according to their intentions. What you will intend is that is how you will be rewarded for it, or even punished for it, if your intent is not good. So first and foremost, the intention for recitation of Quran is that I am doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter he says that Quran should be always recited in the condition when one is in wudu. With wudu. Now, what happens is, many a times we are unable to do that, we are reading off by heart, and that's fine. It is permissible, and it is proven from Sunnah as well that on occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Quran, even though he did not have wudu. We find in the hadith of tahajjud, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to get up, he used to recite the last ayat of Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, to the end of the surah. Naturally he has just gotten up from his sleep, and there was no wudu in that state. So it is proven that one can recite the Quran even though he does not have wudu. But it appears in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala taharatin kamila. In a complete form of purity, in a complete state of purity. And the complete state of purity in this case will be in the state of wudu. Then he says, one of the other etiquette of recitation of Quran, before the recitation of the Quran, we should use the miswak. And he says, inna afwahakum turuqun lil qira'ati fatayyibuha bis siwak. Your mouths are the pathways for the Quran, where the Quran is going to pass through. These are the pathways of the Quran. When you recite, it's coming through the mouth. So, cleanse those mouths by use of the miswak, which is a sunnah on its own and has its great benefit on its own. But at the time of recitation of the Quran, to cleanse the mouth with the miswak. In the hadith it appears, فَطَيِّبُوهَا بِالسِّوَاكِ, cleanse your mouths with siwak. Now very often we do not take this into account. And on occasion, those of us who are unfortunate in the fact that we smoke, or we use certain foods that that do not give off a good smell. And then we recite the Quran in that form, that is undesirable. Because in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that when a person stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and he recites the Quran, then the malaika stand behind him. And they come closer and closer to him. And then they come so close that when he is reciting the Quran, the malaika almost as though they are placing their mouths over his mouth, and the Quran that is emanating from his mouth is directly being transferred into the mouth of the angel. Can you imagine what state we should be keeping our mouths in at the time of recitation of the Quran? This is from amongst the adab of the recitation of the Quran. And of course, to face the Qibla when reciting the Quran, although it is permissible to sit in any direction. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he says, and this is related by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, Ashraful majalis mastuqbila bihi al-Qibla. Ashraful majalis. The most virtuous and the most noble of postures of sitting is that when you are facing Qibla. So we should take into account and bear in mind all these important adab, all these etiquette of reciting the Quran. And finally, he says, At-tadabbur. Reflecting on the Quran. If we do not understand it, how are we going to reflect? This will be the question that each of us will have to ask ourselves. This is what Allah has revealed the Quran. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي قِرَاءَةٍ لَا تَدَبُّرَ فِيهِ. There is no benefit. There is no gain. Not benefit. There is no gain in a recitation when there is no reflection with it. So the reward is there. We will get the reward. But the real gain and benefit that is there in reciting of the Quran, that is tadabbur and reflection and pondering what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. When we recite, and what it means when we say reflection, we should put ourselves in the position of an addressee when we are reciting the Quran. That Allah is addressing me directly. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. We should immediately ponder, reflect. Direct our attention that what is Allah saying immediately after Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. He is speaking to me directly. He is saying, oh you who believe. And if I'm from amongst the believers, Allah is speaking to me. This is why Hassan al-Basri used to say that those from before you, when they used to recite the Quran al-Kareem, they would imagine that Allah is writing to me these letters which I am reading. And therefore Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah says, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا عَرَضَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah have mercy upon that individual. That servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who mirrors his life before the Qur'an al-Kareem. He mirrors himself before the Qur'an al-Kareem. فَإِنْ وَافَقَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ حَمِدَ اللَّهِ وَسَعَلَهُ الزِّيَادَةِ. If he finds his life to be in accordance to the Qur'an al-Kareem, then he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks that Allah increases in him in that. وَإِنْ خَالَفَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. And if he finds his life, when he mirrors it to the Qur'an and he finds it to be opposed to the Qur'an al-Kareem, then عَتَبَ نَفْسَهُ وَرَجَعَ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. When he finds his life to be against the dictates of the Qur'an al-Kareem, then he chastises himself and he makes a concerted effort to turn away from that life and bring his life in conformity with the Kalamullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to recite the Quran firstly daily. Then to have this aspiration that when am I ever going to be able to understand when my Allah speaks to me. In 90 places of the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe, each one of us here, Allah is addressing us directly. Do we know when Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what is He saying to us? For those who read English, there is a book now by Maulana Ashiq Ilahi of Al-Madina, who passed away and is buried in Jannatul Baqi. He wrote a book, E Iman Walo, and which is now translated for everyone who does not understand even Urdu. Read it in English. Those 90 verses in which Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, He has given the tafsir of each one of those verses. Try and get your hands onto that book and read it. At least, if you cannot read it directly from the Quran, let us read it in this form at least, so that when Allah will on the day of judgment ask us, when I said, Oh my believing servant, did you even try to find out what I was telling you? How are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah give us the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.